Praise the Lord. I hope we had a nice week. Yeah. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we give glory and honor unto you for today. We commit this service into your hands. Take absolute control in the name of Jesus. Every activity we will do today, it will be to glorify God in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, we pray for every member of this assembly. Oh God, you will touch each and every one of us in a unique way in the name of Jesus. We will not remain the same again in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, I pray that no weapon of the enemy fashioned against any one of us will prosper. We shall grow from one level of grace to another. We shall grow from strength to strength. Oh God, Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one of us, we will have an encounter with you in the name of Jesus. Oh God, Heavenly Father, I pray. At the end of the service today, we will all have cause to give thanks and honor unto you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Yeah, the first test we are going to do today is that we are going to recollect some of the Bible studies we've been doing, and they have been on the attributes of Jesus Christ. Who can remind me? We have up to 12, 13, 14 attributes that we have been learning in the past weeks. Please, who can remind me? If you can remember 2, 3, please, let's... The attributes of Jesus Christ that we have been doing. Today, the attribute we will be doing is comforting Jesus, our example of comforting and challenging people. Who can remind me of the attributes of Jesus Christ that we have been treating in the past 12, 13 Bible studies?
We've talked about his teaching. We've talked about him socializing, meeting with people. We've talked about him partnering with God and the Holy Spirit. I mean, I will leave the rest to others.
Please, who can give about 2 or 3?
We looked at him as our example of being obedient and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
The pastor said that too. Yeah, he said that one. Please, who can give me another two or three attributes of Jesus Christ that we've been doing in the last few weeks? Yeah, yes. We've talked about Jesus Christ as an example of obeying, Jesus Christ as an example of forgiving, Jesus Christ as an example of praying, learning, what others? Faithfulness, what others? Focusing on heaven, you have said love earlier on. Focusing on heaven. Endurance. Forgiveness, yeah, we've done that. Thank you very much. So learning, praying, obeying, socializing, and making time, loving, forgiving, focusing on heaven's relationship with God, Father, and Holy Spirit. Today, we will be talking about Jesus Christ as our example of comforting and challenging people. In our Christian race, the way we comfort ourselves, the way we encourage ourselves are very, very important. Because if you look at the situations and the circumstances around you, my brother, my sister, one has every excuse. Is it the time that you want to say? Is it the bills that you will pay? Is it, there are so many challenges that we have around us. So as Christians, we need to comfort each other. We need to encourage each other. For us to grow, these are very, very important. We need to comfort and encourage each other. I will read the first paragraph before going into the introduction per se. Growth and transformation are often facilitated through being comforted or being challenged. In Jesus, we see him responding like this. Personally, I too have faced some challenges, which sometimes I will even want to react. I could recall, please, I'm not trying to personalize this, but I could recall January 2009, I was going through so many things. And I thank God for the pastor and the wife. The pastor even had a situation to call me one day and was counseling me. And this was to do with the issue of our permanent residence and, you know, finances. In January 2009, the company I was working with, they changed the mode of payment from normal hours you put in, they change it to the number of people you can bring in, the number of marketing you can do, which was now based on commission. So it was really, really affecting my finances as a family man. And at the time, I could remember I was trying to react. In fact, the pastor had to call me. We talked. He encouraged me. And I thank God for this. And I thank them too. Because if I look at my situation and my circumstances, I was going through a lot. And I will encourage us as Christians. We should do the right thing. We should not try to cut corners. We should be patient. Because God has his plans and his purpose for each and every one of us. I could remember that pastor used to tell me that there is one brother Charles. I've never met that person. I don't know the person. But he used to tell me, this issue of your PR, another family in this church, they face the same problem. But at the right time, God did it in a miraculous way too. Just focus on God. Do your own bit. Serve God. Don't worry about God will do it. And I really thank God. There is another brother. He doesn't come to this church. He's always comforting me when he knew what I was going through. He will always encourage me. Don't bother yourself. Australian government will not send you back home. Australia, with what you have done here, with your degree, with your this, with your that, don't bother yourself. Everything will come in at the right time. You know, I will sit down and be, this guy is saying I should not bother myself. Me, that I know that to get PR, you need 100 points, but I'm having 95 points. And I've tried every way to get the extra 5 points. My brothers, my sister, all the ways I was trying, it was in futility. But when God was going to do it, it was a miracle. I will want to encourage each and every one of us, no matter what you are passing through, no matter your situation, no matter your circumstances, God is always there. God is always there. There are some things you will be passing through that you can't even share with people. But God is there to comfort you. God is there when you have challenges. And let me say the truth. In every aspect of life, there will always be challenges. If you say you will not have problem, we are not being realistic. Whether in your marriage, whether in your family, whether in your place of work, whether in the church, there will always be challenges. I pray that we shall be overcomers in Jesus' name. So let's see some of the examples where Jesus acted as somebody who is a challenger. Let's Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 25, 1 to 33. Matthew 25, 1 to 33. I will quickly read. Matthew 23, 1 to 33. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that to observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulder, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast and best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher and Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by gold of the temple is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He swears by the temple, swears by it, and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven, swears by the throne of God, and by him who sits on it. Woe to scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise the coming, and have neglected the weightier matters of law, justice, mercy, and faith. This you ought to have done without leaving others undone. Blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you blind the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up them the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? We could see the passages, and the one word that keeps on reoccurring in that passage is what, please? Hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is what? You know, trying to present yourself in another image. When you are doing the wrong thing, you are trying to present yourself as if holy, holy, holy. You know, you should be plain. If A is A, let people know that your A is A. If B is B, let people know that you're not trying to put yourself in another image. It's not the best as Christians. Let's go to the second one. Matthew, let's start. We will read that one from Matthew 16, 21 to 23, so we can get the import of that passage. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. I will read. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but things of men. I pray that God will teach us to be mindful of the things of God. You know, there are sometimes God has a game plan for us. God has a purpose for us. But in our own case, we think, if I do it like this, if I do it like this, it will end up like this. Sometimes it's not, some of the logic we think may not work. And we could see here, Jesus knew his purpose. His purpose. And Peter was thinking, no, this should not happen to you. And Jesus told him in verse 23. He knew that it's the Satan that is trying to use Peter. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. God will teach us to discern the things of God in Jesus' name. Let's go to Matthew 19, 16 to 22. Please, if you are there, read. Thank you very much. If we look at verse 27, I want us to look at verse 27 again, which is the summary of the whole thing. It says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good, but one that is God. But if you want to enter into life, what should we do? We should keep the commandments of God." Let's go to Mark 7, 26 to 29. Mark 7. This is God, Jesus acting in for challenging of people. Let's go to Mark 7, 26 to 29. Thank you very much. We could see the challenge of the Greek woman. And the challenge the woman has is that the daughter has demon in her. And we could see how the faith of the woman was, the daughter was able to overcome the challenge of the demon. Now we will look at Jesus as comforter. Let's start. The first one is John 11, 33 to 35. Jesus as a comforter. The first one is about the story of Lazarus. When Lazarus died and Jesus, when Lazarus died and he arose through Jesus Christ. Please, if you are there, John 11. Please continue. We will see how Jesus Christ was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. Continue from there. Thank you very much. We could see how Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, and he was able to comfort his people. Let's go to John 8, 10 to 11. John 8, 10 to 11. Thank you very much. We could see how Jesus was able to comfort the woman who was caught in adultery. And Jesus instructed her that she should go and sin no more. Let's look at John 21:17. Thank you very much for that. We could see how Jesus comforted Simeon, the son of Jonah. And we could see how important love is in Christianity. John 19:25-27. John 19:25-27. Thank you very much. We could see how Jesus Christ acted as a comforter in this aspect. So just like I said earlier, we should always encourage ourselves and we should always comfort ourselves. And I believe that that is the main essence of fellowship. Fellowship is for us to come together, to praise the Lord, to pray together, to encourage each other. And the testimonies we give to is to encourage each other. It's not a matter of show off. The testimonies we give is to encourage each other. I think the last Sunday school which I treated, I told us of some testimonies which I had in recent times, that you will be not only be amazed, but you will be encouraged. Because you will know that God can do anything. What you think is difficult, what you think is impossible, God can do it. All we need to do is to do our own bit. And God will be faithful. The way God will do it, I don't know. But God will do it at his own time and in his own way. Just like I said, I had some testimonies in recent times that you will say, ha, ha, is this possible? But these are things that people experience. It's not a makeup. I pray that God will lead us right in Jesus' name. In closing, no matter what we are passing through, no matter our situation, no matter our circumstances, you know, some people will just say the right word to you at the right time, which will not only comfort you, but will make your faith stronger. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Please, if there is any question, any contribution, any addition.
Praise the Lord. I don't want to take our time, but just to say that this is a very, very important topic. Extremely important topic. so important that it's a big area of controversy, in the sense that you will notice that there are two poles to what we treated. There are two poles to what we treated. Most of us like the second pole. Most of us will do what? We like the second pole. We like the comfort. And by the grace of God, I believe we have a role to comfort each other. When things are not going well, when you are struggling, when there's genuinely somebody has made a mistake, you are there to comfort them. The bit that we don't often enjoy is the bit of challenging. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. Why he does what? He resists the proud. We must have the humility of spirit. Focusing on the content rather than the context. When somebody approaches us and says, look, brother, the way you are going, you know, being, you know, giving your knowledge, who you are, I don't think this is appropriate. A lot of times, what we focus on is the context. We say, oh, you know, didn't he look the way he said it? You see, he was arrogant, he was this. We would look for reasons why we should not address that issue. If we have the Spirit of God inside of us, it's important that we address the issue in question. Most people like to talk about Jesus as Lamb, but not Jesus as the Lion. He is the Lamb, he's also the Lion. And God expects the same thing of us. If I'm going astray, please don't comfort me in my wrongdoing. Challenge me, draw my attention to it. I will have the humility of spirit to come back by the grace of God, because the Spirit of God will witness to me that what I'm doing is wrong. But a lot of times, what people do is to take offense, and we don't like challenging. It's most uncomfortable. You agree with me. It's not very comfortable for you. It's not the person you challenge. You that goes to challenge somebody is not comfortable. You will have weighed it up. It's so difficult to confront somebody. A married man, married woman, or somebody, you know, of stature or something like that. And you have to confront them and say, look, this is not, I don't agree with you. You know, I think this is not appropriate or something like that. It's really very difficult. And so when we get that, let's accept it in love and not allow ourselves to go into the pride mode. Because a lot of times what happens is the pride mode, and we find ways to justify it by rationalizing it and picking quarrel with the person concerned.
I was really struck by Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And we had lunch with some minister friends who were at a church during the week at another church. And they were concerned because they're hearing a lot of talk that simply says, you just need to love. And it's being put in the context of don't address anything that's going on. So these people, this man was married, he was with something else was happening outside of that, and you know, and so they're saying we have to address these things, and they're saying, no, we just need to love, and just love and smiles and all these types of things. And I'm just reading that scripture, and it just struck me so much, because Peter was a human being and he was a disciple of Jesus, and yet Jesus addressed him as Satan. That's what he said. He said, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And he said that because Peter was not mindful of the things of God. But that was such a rebuke.
Thank you very much for the contributions. Any other contribution before we go into the prayer session? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the Bible study of today. Oh God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the topic. Jesus challenging as a comforter. Oh God, Heavenly Father, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances that we are passing through, we shall be comforted in the name of Jesus. Oh God, Heavenly Father, we shall be overcomers in Jesus' name. Oh God, Heavenly Father, we commit the rest of the service into your hands today. Take charge in the name of Jesus. At the end of the service, let us all have cause to give thanks and honor unto you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.